can meow with me, y'all.
Meow.
Meow. Meow. This is the Freedom Fiends, broadcasting from Pod Bay 2A, a mile above sea level, on the moors of Scotland at Intergalactic Prairie Studios. We alter your locus coeruleus by warming your synapses with rejuvenative radio waves. This warms your brain to a tasty and toasty 165 degrees Fahrenheit to keep a sin flood of statism out of your head. Can you feel it? Dan and Katie Green, can you feel it? Is it working? Can you feel it?
I can feel it.
it's palpable.
It's palpable. Yes. Yeah, yeah.
Yes, so that's my word of the day.
Last night, we had drunken Scotsman Dan Green on here. And
that's a shocking accusation.
You have to understand, like, not only is he drunk. No, he's not drunk. You can't. It's actually illegal to be drunk.
He's
on
really
the,
not.
It's illegal to be drunk on the radio. So
and it's 6 in the morning
it's
here.
6 in the morning. That's what I was getting at, man. It's 6 in the morning. So you guys got up to an alarm to be on the radio in America, huh?
I got roused.
Well, I got her up. I got up to an alarm, and then I got her up.
Yeah. That's how this marriage works, Dan.
Excellent.
We've established this.
Yeah, and you guys are couples. You do a couples cast. Do you know that term? Have you heard that term? Couples
no,
cast?
No, what's that?
It means it's a podcast done by a couple.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that was a genre.
It is. And my first podcast was with my wife, and the title of it and the content of it cannot be mentioned on radio, but it was from 2006.
I like that.
And we did 184 episodes, and it got kicked off the iTunes store once they actually listened to it or someone reported it. But it was, you know, we had it under the category of marital advice, and in some ways it was. Okay, so yeah, these people are couples casters, the Greens, Dan and Katie Green from Scotland, from Glasgow. And that is correct. Yes. It's not Glasgow and it's not Glasblow. It's Glasgow, yep. Scotland.
Glasgow.
And they are the newest Freedom Fiends hosts rotating on a spit. And I'm really excited. Yep. And I like their show. It's called the Greening Out Podcast. You can get it by going to greeningout.co.uk. Or if you're an American, you can get it by going to greeningout.com.
Hey, Greening Out Podcast, Michael.
Oh, thank you.
Greening Out Podcast.
Okay, greeningoutpodcast.com or greeningoutpodcast.co.uk. All right, so it may or may not be Katie's birthday. It's her birthday week. Now, you are the only person I've ever met besides me who won't give out their real birthday on the social networks or the radio. Well, why? Why don't you do that?
Yeah. Well, there's so many things that are associated with your birthday. If you, I've worked in a bank, and that's one of the security questions. And I just feel like I don't really want that to be readily available to the world. Now, obviously, you know, on the radio, I don't really want to like give out my birthday. So I just, Dan and I were talking. I said, nah, I'm just going to be like, it's the week of, and just be kind of vague about it.
I always call it the 7 days of Michael's birthday when it's my birthday on the radio. And it's, I mean, your birth date, people are far too free. Like, literally, there are 4 or 5 pieces of commonly available information that people need to hack your bank account and a whole bunch of other things. And
it's like your mother's maiden name and stuff like that.
Your birth date, your place of birth, your name, and you know, and then they have these ridiculous challenge questions for forgetting passwords, like what's the name of your first pet? You know, that's actually how somebody hacked Paris Hilton's BlackBerry and got naked selfies of her.
Oh yeah,
because her challenge thing to reset her password was the name of her favorite pet, and her pet was like part of her whole persona. You know.
Yeah. Was it that little chihuahua?
There's too much of her naked on the internet as there is.
I've seen too much of that woman already.
It was that little pocket purse pup she had. Yeah.
Was it at a South Park when she was on it and the dogs all committed suicide?
Yeah.
I'm not very surprised.
I thought that one went too far. I don't know if it went too far. I don't know if there is too far, but it was sad to me. I didn't like that one. They get mean sometimes.
I know you mean.
The thing about,
you want to say?
I was going to talk about Paris Hilton, but now I've decided not to.
Have you decided against it? You don't want to give her that?
I don't really want to give it airtime.
There you go.
Yeah.
Well, we got, we're going to talk later about socialized healthcare and how horrible it is. And I've actually, I've actually been going to doctors a bunch this week for asthma, which I've had my whole life, but it's gotten worse lately. And I've actually learned a bunch about asthma that I never knew. Like, I've been to like 50 doctors in my life probably. And I actually met one that sat down and told me things about it I didn't know. And it was good. Mm-hmm. But the facility that I go to for healthcare, I guess we could get into this. The facility I go to for healthcare is every doctor you go to in the facility and every person you deal with there who works there, you give them your name and the next thing they ask you is your birth date. So like they don't ask you for ID. You show your ID once when you sign up for the thing and then it's all based on your birth date. But
that's quite scary. Somebody could go get healthcare in your name.
They probably that's could. Frightening. Yeah. Or they could you know, have different weird bad symptoms that would mess up your medical records and raise your insurance price or something. I don't know.
I know it's not kind of the same thing, but the last time we were in America, we were in Florida, and see when you go to like Disneyland or Universal Studios, man, they take your fingerprints now, which I thought was really, really weird. They actually fingerprint you as you go in the park.
That, but
man.
I wanted to go to Disney.
It was really, really weird.
Yeah.
I didn't know that. But you know what, too? This is kind of interesting. A lot of people, a lot of libertarians use Disneyland as an example of how things could work well in a free market.
And Walter Block does a thing as well.
Yeah, I haven't heard his thing, but and he is Scottish, right? Or Scottish American, and you've interviewed him?
No, not Walter Block. No, no, no.
Who's Scottish?
No, I don't believe that was Stephen Kinsella's got Irish roots, I think.
Yeah, I've got Irish roots, but I don't say
I think a lot of people do. Yeah,
yeah,
I think it's pretty common.
Because a lot of them came over here and they bred like bunnies. Yep.
Yeah.
Well, that's what they're good for.
Irish Catholics, yeah.
I've got that's what they did.
Well, my last name, Dean, is from the Irish A-Dean, and it was changed. I don't know if it was changed at Ellis Island, but it was changed, if not there, shortly after, because they wanted to hide from being Irish because it was such a shameful thing in the mid-1800s. You're part, are you from Ireland, Dan? Or are you, your parents are Irish?
No, like my grandparents are Irish, but we always went back and forward to Ireland like as children. But it's funny, like you say that, because like if you listen to historians like Thaddeus Russell, when they talk about how the Irish, when they were first in the US, a lot of them were considered like, because they mingled with like the sort of black people and stuff, they were kind of looked down upon. But then there was this kind of period.
That's not the only reasons they were looked down upon.
No, but then there was this period when they all started like joining. It was after, I can't remember what brought it on, but it was like they all started joining the police and stuff like then they became more respectable. And that's why paddy wagon is technically a racist term.
Yeah, well, the Irish came over here and built and then filled our prisons.
So, but it's funny how from climbing into the state apparatus, that's how they gained, you know, some kind of respectability.
That's horrible. Not Irish people. I'm part Irish. I'm saying that, like being a cop to be respectable is horrible because you're just the enforcement arm of bullying politicians who promise away the world every 4 years and promise away the next 100 years of money to stolen money from the as yet unborn. So is your accent kind of Irish or is it Dan or is it just Scottish?
No, Dan's full Scot.
Well, it's weird because there's like all my friends growing up were all kind of like me. We were all kind of had all sort of Irish sort of ancestors. Ancestors, make it sound like it's
what it's
like. Grandparents and some of his Irish parents as well. So there's a kind of subculture of these kind of Irish Catholic people in Glasgow. Yeah. You know, there's the same in like places like Liverpool and things like that, but they're from more sort of Southern Ireland. But like the people from the north of Ireland, like where my family are from, Donegal, they all sort of came to Glasgow because there was nothing really going on jobs wise, and Glasgow was a massive city in like the 30s and the 40s. Yeah. So,
Did you live before the war? Did you live in Liverpool, Dan?
No.
You sound like two of the Beatles to me, and I can't figure. I think it's
you think
John,
so, really?
John and George.
Weird.
So So Katie, are you Canadian or what's your story?
Yes, I lived in Canada until I was 11 years old. So and then we came over to Glasgow because my mom's from Scotland and my dad's Canadian.
Do you ever say a boot?
about.
Yes.
No, I don't, but I actually have a complaint because I don't think it sounds like a boot. I think it sounds like a boot.
Here we go, the Canadian.
No, but I always say this.
You think it sounds like what?
Right. We've had this conversation while watching Trailer Park Boys many, many, many a time. And basically, they don't say a boot. They say a boat. A-B-O-A-T, like a boat.
A boat?
It's more like a boat than a boot. Huh. They don't. I've never heard any Canadian person say...
Katie thinks a boot is racist.
It's not racist. It's not oppressive, Dan. We've had this conversation before. It's not.
We actually have had this conversation before. That's the worrying thing about what's going on just now.
No, but I feel I need to get my point across.
Katie, do people in Scotland perceive you as being Scottish or do they think you sound like you're from somewhere else?
People usually go, are you from, like, if I'm talking to someone in work, for example, like a customer, they usually sometimes ask, are you from somewhere? And I'll just go, oh, I was born. I'll just say, like, I grew up in Canada, so that I have a tint. Because my dad moved here, and he was in his 40s when we moved here, and he still has a really big, booming, bassy Canadian accent.
And then you see what's interesting as well, because you don't mean it, but you flip in and out, because if you're talking to some Scottish people, you sound more Scottish. But when we went on our honeymoon to Canada,
yeah,
when you talk to Canadian people, even if you talk to your dad, you sound more Canadian. Your voice sort of changes, but you don't mean it, but you just do naturally.
I don't know. It's weird. I can flit.
Yeah.
You flip between the raindrops.
I like to, to keep it fresh.
So what do you do? What do you folks do? Haven't you guys been dating since you were like 12 or something?
Not correct.
We met in a biology class when we were about 15. 15?
We were 15 years old, yeah.
Yeah, and then we were friends for years and years. And then Katie went to live in Sri Lanka
for a little bit.
And weirdly. And then when she came back, we started going out and then we got married and have been
and that's
since.
The short version.
That is the extremely short radio compacted version of that story.
Barack Obama.
If you want more, we can say more.
Barack Obama is a liar and a socialist and his feet stink. Katie, who in the UK would you say that about too?
Many, many people, namely David Cameron, George Osborne, anybody really in Westminster, they're all fools.
They're liars, they're socialists, and their feet stink.
I would say so, yes.
All right, we'll be back.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends, and I'm beaming these words into your cerebellum. The Central Scrutinizer is a Soviet-style Leviathan trying to keep track of all you do. That's why I use a VPN, or virtual private network, from Bola VPN. Bola VPN is inexpensive, secure, and will allow you to use your computer without leaving a trail. Bola VPN is now also offering torrent seed boxes for safely sharing media with the world. And if you open a support ticket saying you heard about them from the Freedom Fiends, they'll add 3 extra days free. That's Bola VPN at BOLEHVPN.net.
This is the Freedom Fiends. Michael W. Dean here, a rotating iron hamster on a spit. I'm talking to Dan Green and Katie Green. Do you guys have radio wrestling names yet?
We don't. No, actually, no.
Work on it.
Work on this. Yeah.
The Flying Haggis.
The Flying Haggis. Yeah. Well, actually, you know, there was a weird... my brother worked at a kind of Outward Bound sort of thing, like a sort of, American kids come over to a sort of camp here. And apparently they actually told all the American kids that a haggis was a small furry animal and they sent them all out looking for them one night. Yes.
Wow. So, let's go chase haggis.
So I'm sorry, America.
So if you really want everyone to just really feel bad, tell us what a haggis really is.
Well,
it's basically...
Let Katie tell us. It's her birthday week.
It's my birthday week, Dan. Come on. A haggis is, as far as I understand it, the innards of a sheep's belly wrapped in a sheep's belly. It's delicious
and then fermented.
There's oats and things in it. It's actually really nice. You actually have vegetarian haggis as well. But like, I like haggis. I'm one of the. No, I'm telling you, man. But it's just all oats and stuff like that.
Vegetarian haggis, wouldn't that just be a bag of leaves? You have to rake raked the lawn.
It's like oats and stuff, and like
I know it seems like a contradiction in terms, yeah, but like
yeah, vegetarian meatballs. I yeah feel like I try not to hit people in the face when they say vegetarian meatballs. I mean, no.
Tofu balls. Let's just be honest. Balls.
The only substitute vegetarian thing that makes me laugh instead of angry is the phrase tofurkey. You know, tofu shaped
tofurkey. Oh,
that's turkey. Flavored tofurkey. Yeah, tofurkey. Oh, so my. I don't know if you can say tofurkey on the radio, but so you were going to tell.
Well, you just did.
I did. So, you were going to tell a story, well, Katie, about how you met your wonderful husband.
Well, yeah, this is quite a funny. I like telling this because I did it and I think it's funny. Basically, Dan and I were placed in a biology class together by fate. And we were seated next
by
to
fate
each other.
Or by the state?
Well, actually, by
fate
the state.
And the state, yeah.
And the state, and alphabetically. So,
well, you know, once a year they get something right by accident, probably.
Yeah, yeah. So this biology teacher seats us.
Speak up like you're on the radio, Katie. Come on.
I am a strong, confident woman. I can do this. Okay. Right. Basically, this teacher put us in alphabetical order. So my maiden name was somewhere near G, green. And I got seated next to Dan. And I noticed a Marilyn Manson patch on his backpack. And,
I was that cool guy.
Oh, you were. You had black nails and you were just so moody.
That was
and
awesome.
I dug it. So moody. And so anyway, I noticed this patch and I said to my good friend, Siobhan, I said, Siobhan, do you think that I should buy this Marilyn Manson album and try and talk to Dan? And she said, yeah, do it. So we went to HMV one day after school and I purchased Smells Like Children, Marilyn Manson, and I listened to it. I actually, as a 14-year-old girl, I wasn't a big fan of that. I thought it was kind of weird, but I thought, hey, this dude's really into it. So I went, I said to Siobhan, who was also in the class, come up to me and ask to borrow my Marilyn Manson album and do it when he's there. And I did. This was highly, highly orchestrated. And Dan knows this. I told him this. And basically she did it. And Dan went, do you like Marilyn Manson? And I went, yeah, I'm a fan. And we started a little conversation. And that's how we met.
And then in 2012, we went to see Marilyn Manson.
So it all came full circle. It was really nice.
Oh, that is adorable.
So that is a sweet little story for you all.
Yep. So what year were you cats born? It was fun. When were you born?
86.
Yeah.
Both of you?
1986.
You're born both in 1986. Of us, yeah.
Man.
Same year.
I can't say what I was doing on the in 1986 on the radio.
I respect that, you know. You know, Dan and I were being born, though. So, I mean, you know, we were, you know, coming into the world, Michael. That's a pretty big deal.
I was hanging out in the same region, but I wasn't being born.
And that's about as far.
Well,
as
we
you
were all. Yeah,
take
that's
it.
About as much as we can probably say on the video.
This is
yeah
actually the most animated that I've seen Katie in this at this time in the morning for
morning
a long
person,
time.
Man.
She is not a morning person. Usually, I try and get away from her in the morning. And in a one bedroom flat or apartment, it's hard.
No, I like that. I like having friends, but I like having friends too that are in far distant time zones, because I keep really weird hours and most people I know are asleep when I'm wanting to party.
Same. Yeah. So, hey.
All right. We'll be back after this trip to the free market on the Freedom Fiends. Woo. Give me the worms.
Worms.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends, an invigorating alternative to those other shows.
Hey, this is Squiscar Squiggles from Death Clocks, and you are listening to the Freedoms Fiends on the, you know, the radios. And I guess I says worms now, so there you go.
You've read books, attended lectures, and you know the Constitution well enough to know it's a well-crafted blueprint to create an ever-increasing federal empire. But there's still one thing missing.
Buttons!
Freedom Fiends now has buttons. You'll get state speech is hate speech, guns and weed, buy sheep for sheep on sheep, and two designs for the Freedom Fiends. Wear them with pride. Use them to start conversations with statists.
It's only $10 for 10 buttons, including shipping.
Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says buttons.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network, a collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
Freedom Fiends. You know, I used to get a lot of back pain, and I went and got one of those balls, those like $30 exercise balls from Amazon that like you blow up with a little foot pump that comes with it. And they, I mean, generally they're like, I associate them with old people. Like it's what they, like really old people, it's the only exercise they can
over,
do. But
like over 50s yoga at the local center.
I'm over 50. I'll be 51 in May. So there you go. And
I changed my statement to over 60s.
No, because I got one and it actually is really helping. I just have it in my room, which is kind of a small room. It actually takes up a lot of the room in the room. But the cats learn to not be afraid of it. And I just get up, you know, a couple, 4 or 5 times a day and just lie on it on my back and roll around on it for about 30 seconds. And it really helped with back pain.
I'm actually thinking about getting one myself. I stand all day at work and I think that I need, because when I sit here for too long, it's
speak
just,
up.
It's not
speak
good.
Up like so, you're on nationally syndicated confident. Radio, young lady.
Yes. I know. Okay, yes. So yeah, I'm
be dynamic, damn it.
Be dynamic.
Be a thespian.
Oh, you can't say thespian on radio, or can you? Yeah, we can.
You can't.
Thespian.
I'm a thespian.
The TH.
I'm a thespian.
I'm okay. A thespian. It has to be said with drama.
Okay.
Next time Dan says damn it on the radio,
I'm going to punch him in the face.
No, I actually just hook up that thing to his, you know, special place, and I have a button that can shock him from here. Yeah.
Do you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to research like old English terms. I'm going to say things like crikey.
Yes.
Crikey. Gadzooks.
Well, the funny thing about like radio friendly cussing, like saying he said the F word, you know, like that kind of stuff. It's so awkward that it's even like funnier and has more impact than swearing, I think.
I've always wondered though why they do that by saying like, because when someone says the F word, You do think of the F word. It's not like you think of the word, you know,
Frankenstein.
Fudge.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like
it's Americans are prudes.
Whatever.
Americans are prudes. And,
but yeah,
I mean, this younger generation today, they cuss like, you know, like it's
the
an
kids,
adjective,
you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, the I kids. Know. Well, my little sister, God love her. She is, she'll be 20 soon actually. And she swears a heck of a lot. Actually,
a heck of
and
a
that's
lot.
Coming from a heck of a lot. I know.
she's learning.
A heck
see?
Of a lot. Oh, and
practice.
That actually, I was practicing last night, and before we came on the show, I swore straight for 5 minutes. I cussed just for
gotta,
5 minutes.
You got it out of your system. I did that before we got on radio, and we've never
the
actually
dog was scared.
Never actually had anyone cuss. One person, but we hit the cuss dump. It was the creator of Death Clock, Brendan Small.
Oh,
and
yeah.
He didn't know it was radio. Like, he does so many podcast interviews. When we said Freedom Fiends Radio, like, podcasts are often called something radio. So he didn't know. Yeah. But we hit the cuss dump, so it didn't go out. But yeah, in almost 2 years we've been on, we've never had one let one rip.
I really like the advert. I really like the advert that he did for you guys. Because I actually thought that was, at first I thought that's a brilliant, really, really good impression after we watched Metalocalypse.
Yeah.
And then I found out it was actually him. So that was really,
it
really
is.
Cool.
Yeah. And I actually had him, I recorded him recording it during a break of the show. Basically, like, it's in the show, like, basically to have proof that it's actually him, because there are so many people that do imitations of Nathan Explosion and Squiscar Squigelf.
And you just know there's a lot of people who have a lot of time on their hands that would, like, come up with a conspiracy.
Yeah.
You're lying.
Yeah.
It's not really him.
No, I really enjoyed that interview because we actually scared him. We told him about... I'm proud of the fact
the crocodile that man.
He'd never heard of crocodile, which is this, you know, I look at it, okay, I don't want to bury the lead. This is a teaching hospital. I was going to say what I thought about crocodile without saying what it was. Crocodile is a Russian drug that is basically bathtub heroin. I guess codeine pills, it's not actually heroin, but it's something that's almost as strong as heroin. And in the pure form of what that drug is, it's like mesomorphine or bupomorphine or something. In the pure form of that drug, like it's an actual like pharmaceutical drug that is safe.
Do you mean buprenorphine?
Yeah, it's not buprenorphine, but I will look up what crocodile really is. But it's basically made from codeine, which is available over the counter in Russia, which it should be everywhere, I think. It's
available over the counter here too.
Is it really? Not actual codeine, but like surely.
Codeine, no, it's mixed. It's cut with paracetamol, which is like Tylenol.
So it's
really hard on your liver, and you can't overdose.
Well, you can't abuse it as easily, but people do anyway. It's kind of like
you can look it up on YouTube. Yeah,
crocodile is
don't be giving people tips.
I'm not encouraging anybody
crocodile,
to do this.
Crocodile is desomorphine, and that was actually a Swiss pharmaceutical painkiller in the 30s. But the street version of it, crocodile, is made from I'm not giving anyone tips here, because if anyone does this, they might as well just pull out a knife and stick it in their eye right now. It's made from like
everybody's in charge of their own body.
It's made from like codeine, gasoline, red phosphorus, and battery acid, like literally. And it is desomorphine, but also, and it's made like not in a lab, but in like a jar in a kitchen. And it actually
someone's basement.
It actually still has so much residue of those other chemicals in it that people who become addicted to it and inject it, the way police identify them is that the people smell like gasoline because it seeps out of their pores. This chemical, it's called crocodile because abusing it for even a few months makes your skin rot off and look like a crocodile. Like literally, like you can, if you don't Google crocodile.
Actually a fun anecdote, but I feel really bad for these people, but that's quite funny.
I'm not giving into your reverse psychology, Dean. I'm not going to Google that.
Well, I mean, and the thing is, like, it's actually we come up a few places in America, and of course the nanny bots are like, we must add laws to protect this. And I'm like, no, the reason this exists
is
the reason this exists is because safer alternatives are illegal,
Oh yeah, no.
I think that's the only libertarian thing we've said here in 40 minutes. But I'm having too much fun to preach. Yes. So go on.
No, I work in that kind of field in the health.
You're
field.
You're a crocodile seller.
The best. I don't think we have that on our shelf. I've never seen it.
Well, because can register it. Heroin addicts can get heroin from the government there, right?
Well, okay, this is how it works. If you go to your doctor and say, I'm addicted to heroin.
Speak up like you're on radio.
If they...
strong, yes, confident woman.
I am a strong, independent, confident woman. Remember the tapes. Okay, so basically it's... what the heck was I talking about?
How to get heroin in England from the state?
Oh yeah, sure. Yeah. I was advising people on how to get heroin. Yeah. In the United Kingdom, if you go to your GP or your general practitioner, and you say I'm addicted to heroin, they'll do some tests and stuff just to verify that, and then you can get what's called methadone, which was actually during World War II, I believe. I'm a bit messy on all the details. I apologize, but it was used as a painkiller because it was sort of cheap to produce.
Well, yeah, because it's synthetic and it's, when poppies, opium, morphine were in short supply.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, you can get that here. So, there's methadone clinics here.
Yeah, yeah. So,
but that's on the government.
It's on the government tab, if you will. So that gets all funded from the government, and we also have what's called a harm reduction needle exchange program.
They have that here. I want to hear about the heroin. I want to hear about the government smack.
Okay, smack is it smells.
It smells.
That doesn't talk
awful.
About it.
I'm talking about are you talking about, sorry, I thought you meant like a substitute like methadone. No, there's no such thing unless you go to hospital pharmacy, which I don't work in. I work in a community pharmacy, so we wouldn't really get that kind of stuff.
But don't they used to have
heroin, it's methadone.
They used to have heroin maintenance in England. Did they stop doing that?
I'm not familiar with that, no.
No, it must have been a while ago, because as far as we know, it's that, because that's been the big debate here, whether it should be, like, whether they should have methadone programs, because some people get put on them and the idea is to wean them off, but then they end up on the same dose for years and years and years.
The British,
once you get hooked on the methadone, you're hooked on the methadone.
Oh, it's actually more addicted than heroin. The British have had the system of heroin maintenance since the 1920s. For decades, it supplied a few hundred addicts nationwide, most of them whom were doctors themselves. It was de-emphasized considerably during the 60s to 80s as a result to the U.S.-led war on drugs. Because of the lack of large-scale trials, only anecdotal evidence existed as to the efficacy of the treatment. This changed in 1994 when Switzerland, faced with one of the largest open drug scenes in Europe at the time, I remember I scored heroin in Switzerland in 1996. They started the large-scale trials in front of a cop in a park, and they didn't bother us.
Naturally.
Well, we were with the guy who spoke Swiss German, and if we tried to do it, they would have arrested us, but he did it. So started large-scale trials on potential use of diamorphine as a maintenance drug. I think that's methadone. Let's see. Resulting in Germany. Yeah, they phased it out. It used to be a thing.
Diamorphine is still available as like a palliative care drug for people that are dying.
Basically. Here's something bizarre. In 2008, the right wing Swiss People's Party initiated a national referendum on heroin-assisted treatment. A majority of 68% voted for the continuation of these programs. So right wingers in Sweden want government heroin. That's cool.
Yeah, well, that typically tells you something about Sweden, doesn't it?
Yeah. I just think
Take care of me.
It should be freely available in vending machines as long as the vending machines are privately owned and operated.
I just, I continue the mantra of you own your own body.
Yeah.
It's absolutely your choice. And you know what? If it affects the people around you, you just have to deal with that. You have to deal with the consequences. You know, if you're taking a drug and everybody you love falls away from you because you're taking that drug, that's not their fault. It's your fault for doing the drug, And as long as you take responsibility, I think, for yourself and don't hurt anyone,
You kind of sound like you're doing a sort of call-in show where people call in with their problems.
Well,
and kind of.
I am. But,
let me help you.
I only let people call in on Fiend Phone and only if I know them, because then they sound good. But kids, don't take drugs. Drugs are bad.
No, they're really stupid. Yeah. I mean, I talk to a lot of people who are recovering heroin addicts on a day-to-day basis.
I love how you
say
heroin.
Some of them are still...
Heroin.
Heroin.
You sound like Stu Griffin.
I like the way Black Street addicts say it at NA meetings in California. They say, hair on. I got to get me some hair on. Like the bird. Like the bird. All right, we'll be back. Kids, don't do drugs. You'll turn into you'll get clean and become a radio host.
Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean. This is what radio sounds like now.
Is your child defiant, independent, annoyingly inquisitive? After a long, hard day of following the rules, who wants to deal with troublesome kids? 49% of children suffer from oppositional defiant disorder, or ODD. Symptoms of ODD include independent thought, rampant creativity, and failure to submit to authority. But now there's a solution. The good people at Pilfer can help you with their time-release, once-daily capsule, Compliacin. Your child won't be able to form his own opinions, let alone express them. It maintains your child's ability to go to a state-run school and perform simple tasks around the house. You won't have to worry about parenting, and the school won't have to deal with your kid asking questions. Compliacin. You'll go from this.
Quit telling me what to do! Quit telling me what to do! Quit telling me what to do!
To this.
Good morning, Mother. I love going to school. And this week we're learning all about how the government is our federal family and they're here to help us.
Compliacin. Talk to your school psychiatrist and ask for it by name.
This is the Freedom Fiends Late Night. Libertarian, anarcho-capitalist, voluntarist, college type radio done by grown-ups who you know, went to a little bit of college. I went to some college and didn't finish. Did you guys go to college and finish?
I went to a couple of colleges.
Speak up like you're on radio, young lady.
I've been to a few colleges actually, but I've only finished two of them. I've been to about four. So
okay. So during the break, Barack Obama sent me a text and said that he thought we were setting a bad example by talking about drug use. And I'm talking about past drug use and other people's drug use and why drug use should be legal and does less damage than the war on drugs. Here's the thing, though.
Yeah.
Barack Obama wrote me and said that we were setting a bad example for kids and probably, you know, shouldn't be on radio. And now that there's net neutrality, the FCC has something to say about that. But here's the thing. I'm assuming that on radio right now, it's grown-ups listening. If you are a parent and your child is up listening to the radio at 1:53 a.m. on a school night, you are worse than me for what I'm doing.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
That's a really accurate point. I mean, I've always said it, you know, when people call for banning things, I'm like, well, keep your kid away from that strip club, you know, like keep your six. And people are like, think of the children. And I can understand that argument.
That's just how it starts. That whole think of the children stuff.
But that's a total fallacy. It doesn't exist. It's not, you know, think of the children means absolutely nothing.
People are bad parents if they want the state to do their parenting for them. That's what I think.
Yeah.
Dan was talking about this new thing we've got here, the named person thing, where a state representative straight from the womb to the grave. Man.
Yeah.
The social services want to know everything about you.
I know.
Yeah.
And just thinking like, that just means that everyone's going to have a job nannying children for the government.
Yeah, and that's the thing, because it's like it seems good, but then it drives your taxes up, obviously, because you have to pay for these people to do all this.
Well,
it's so worrying. But what next are we going to start having kids chipped? Logical conclusion.
Well, there was an article about that recently in one of these pharmacy magazines that we got.
Yeah,
we get them into the shop.
You're a pharmacy right? You didn't establish that.
I pop pills. I'm like a dispensing assistant.
You pop them to people, without explaining that,
essentially, that's what I do.
This is a rule of radio, and this is a teaching hospital. So, I do want to say that it's good to tell what's obvious to you that's not obvious to the listener, or even
some
obvious to me.
Like,
I forget we're on radio. I'm just talking to my friends on better audio than the phone, because we're on Fiend Phone, and you can go to fiendphone.com. It's the last week of our Indiegogo. It ends Sunday. We'd love to get a few more donations to pay the programmer to do some more improvements on it. But I'm so into good audio that I actually commissioned a programmer to create something better than Skype. That's free that we're giving away. It's much better than Skype for talking.
I was actually talking with my Nana on Skype like a week ago, and I was saying to Dan, there's too much, like whenever I talk, she goes to talk.
Well, actually,
because she sees my mouth moving, but then we talk over each other and we can't hear each other because
it cuts
of the
you
delay.
Off, whereas you and I are talking over each other right now, and people can hear both of the things that we're saying. So here's if you read the full description of FiendPhone on the front page of FiendPhone.com, one of the many suggested uses I suggest for it on there is for better sounding audio for communicating with people that are hard of hearing. Because the clearer the sound is, the better. Like, my dad can barely hear me on a phone, but if I'm in the same room with him, he can hear me really well. And I don't think he could set up FiendPhone. We're actually looking at making FiendPhone as a service where, like, you'd pay 10 or 20 bucks a month. You wouldn't have to configure your computer. You wouldn't have to have fast internet.
Just connect.
You connect through a server, FiendPhone. We're working on that. FiendPhone as a service. Someone suggested that. But here's the thing I want to say real quick was that about saying what's not obvious is from your story before, from not saying that you're a pharmacy tech, I would just assume you're a lady who hangs out in drugstores.
So she does that too.
Yes. See if anyone drops anything.
Ooh.
All right, we'll be back.
This is weird.
With hour two of the Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and the Greens on the Freedom Fiends. That rhymes. I like it.
Yeah, oh, I so love it.
Give me some worms, Dan.
Worms.
Worms.
some reason in this country, and in a bunch of Western world, it's okay to just judge.
Hey, this is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends radio show. Computer programmer Derek Slopey and I have created Fiendphone. I'm using Fiendphone right now to talk with and record one of my co-hosts in real time. Take it, Davi.
Hey, this is Davi Barker, and I'm 1,000 miles away from Michael, but we sound like we're in the same room.
We sure do, Davi. So, Davi, please tell the nice people more about Fiendphone.
Fiendphone is free, no-gov software that opens up a global world of possibilities for collaborative, high-quality, remote voice media production, and I'm digging it.
People can try Fiendphone right now at fiendphone.com, but we're also raising money to vastly improve Fiendphone and vastly improve independent talk media worldwide.
So go to fiendphone.com to help out. Who will build the audio roads? We will, with your help.
That's fiendphone.com, F-E-E-N-P-H-O-N-E.com. Foxtrot, Echo, Echo, November, phone.com.
Fiendphone, I never knew remote audio could be this good.
This is the Freedom Fiends, broadcasting through the Libertarian Reeducation Center's Low Orbit Ion Cannon. High atop Financial Beast Plaza on the artificial satellite LibPair 2017 in the Alpha Centauri region of the Scottish Moors. The Freedom Fiends is covered by a BIPCOT no government license. This allows reuse by anyone except governments. Learn more at BIPCOT.org. And this is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends talking to Dan Green and Katie Green from the Greening Out podcast, which is greeningoutpodcast.co.uk or greeningoutpodcast.com for people in America.
Yes.
Yeah.
It will take you to the same place.
You know, if governments...
We do not have an American version.
If governments had run the internets since they started, like they want to now... I really think that, like, if you were in America, you'd have to use a different domain extension to get to something in Europe. I really do. Like, it'd be using different phone companies or something.
And
we are using Fiendphone, and you can go to fiendphone.com. That's why we sound so good, even though we're many thousands of miles apart. And Fiendphone also contains a secret thing that only works with other Freedom Fiends co-hosts. I cannot interrupt non-Freedom Fiends co-hosts, but we tested this the other day. It was the Fiendphone Unnecessary Random Reeducation Interruption Exigency System, or Furries. It's kind of the free market version of the emergency alert system. What do you have an emergency alert system there? Like, do you get, you know, TV and radio interrupted by this as a test of that kind of stuff?
No.
Really?
No, I've never seen one.
Have you heard of this? I've heard of it.
Like, I've seen it on American TV, so I understand the concept. But, like, we don't have such a thing. They never test any such
thing. You know why you don't need it?
We expect to defend for ourselves.
you don't need it because the government has controlled radio and TV so tightly forever there that they're just like, of course we can take it over. There was actually a sitcom or something about that, wasn't it? Do you know that it was a comedy done by some of the people from Peep Show, and it was about like England after, you know, the nuclear attacks, and they had a game show where they're like people whose skin and hair was falling out. What was that?
That was the Mitchell and Webb look, and that was one of the comedy
skits. They always referred to it as the event. And after the event, and yeah, things
they never,
like that.
They never explained the event, but whatever it was horrible.
Yeah. Welcome to the show and stay indoors. Something less infected. And you never find out what this thing is that actually happened. It's called the Mitchell and Webb look, and it's actually on UK Netflix, if anybody has a VPN thing that they can switch between different countries.
It was on US Netflix for a while, but you know, they switch stuff around. So
they're bums. Why do they do that? I don't really get that.
That's a really
good thing.
I like that.
I say that at work all day whenever I draw, because I do admit I do curse quite a lot. But at work I say bums.
So let's talk about the healthcare system. Because I know you love your socialized healthcare there.
I'm kidding. The thing is, Michael, it's good for some people. For some people, it does. It is helpful to them.
The people that don't have to pay for it.
People that are really sick, like people that have like cancer and stuff like that, it's really quite helpful to them. Cancer drugs are amongst the most expensive because of things like the
Because of the government. Because of the government.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. Because because government, things are so expensive. Because of
regulation. I mean, like, see the fact that, like, you have drug companies that won't let someone that's maybe been given, like, say, 6 months to live, they won't let them try an untested drug. Like, that's ridiculous. That's horrific, man. Why not? Why not? If that guy's only got 6 months to live, then why not roll the dice?
It's his body, you know, do what he wants with it.
But I'm going to start.
The healthcare.
I'm going to start because I have rarely been to a doctor, you know, my whole life. I mean, you know, once a year or so, I'll get like a flu or something like a flu and go to the doctor and get some, not flu, but like a bronchitis or something. I'll go get some antibiotics or something at a clinic, you know, and pay $100 and wait in line and stuff. But I haven't had a doctor, like a primary care physician, since I was a child. And when I lived in LA, I was on my wife's health insurance. And that's the only time I've had health insurance my whole life. But I'm actually getting health insurance, not because Obama says I have to, but because I'm 50 and I'm starting to need to address things that I've never addressed in my life. One of them being like issues with asthma that I've just kind of like, I treated with like Primatene Mist and they took it off the market. And I was saying like, and it is horrible that the government took something off the market for some environmental reason that, you know, and didn't replace it with, and the big pharma didn't replace it with anything that worked equally as well, you know, for symptoms. But the thing is, I've learned a lot about asthma this week, and just treating the symptoms of it, like, you'll end up dying of an asthma attack someday, you know, basically.
Oh yeah.
You know, so I'm getting on, like, you know, inhaled steroid asthma therapy and comments. You have comments?
No, I was just going to say, yeah, that's like a common thing. A lot of people here get prescribed a Preventer, which is a steroid, and then the other one, which is when you're having an attack. Yeah.
So I've got both of those. A lot of people don't. And so there's this health facility in my town that's fairly new. It's about 2 years old, and it's amazing. I mean, it's big and it's shiny and it's nice, and there are some amazing doctors in it. I mean, surprising for a town of 50,000 people in the least populated state in America, in what is basically still the Wild West. I mean, there's doctors at this that, like, you know, left working at Stanford to come work here because they wanted to, instead of working at a big city thing where they only see somebody once, they wanted to have primary patients and work with them over, you know, a period of time. And so there's some really good doctors there. It's kind of open to everybody, which I'm not complaining. I'm not like, well, I guess I kind of am. Like, it depends on when you go. Like, if you go when the weather's bad and like, or during work hours and people, there aren't a lot of people there, it's like going to the Mayo Clinic, literally. Like, it's like going to like one of the best hospitals ever, you know, or medical facilities ever. And if you go there when the weather's nice or after work, it's kind of like going to the methadone clinic. I mean, it's like full of people who, poor people. And here's the thing about, like, I've been poor my whole life, but the thing is, like, I've always been able to be in a room full of people and not look like I want to stab people. Okay. There's a lot of people when it's busy, there's a lot of people who look like they're impatient, look like they've had a lot of problems in life, and look like they're going to stab you and kind of have that vibe. Although I got to say, like, the only person that was being loud and obnoxious was like the white cowboy. There's always a white cowboy in Wyoming on a cell phone talking at the top of his lungs like he's in his living room. But
we have an equivalent of that here. Yeah.
What is it? What is it?
It's just a very, very loud, attention-seeking type of person who talks very, very, very loud on their cell phone.
You know, when I showed my movie Guns and Weed: The Road to Freedom in Dublin, Ireland, at this club, this bar called Bukowski's. Was that in Dublin? I can't remember where that was. Maybe it was
Bukowski. We have a Bukowski's, do we not, Dan?
What town? I've never been to Scotland.
I
think this was in Dublin. It was not in Dublin. Where was it? It was in England somewhere. But this bar called Bukowski's, and it was like packed bar. I mean, there were like 200 people in this bar that probably held 100 people to see my movie, like to see the weird American filmmaker come show his movie. And it was like, I mean, I think it was like the normal like 100 people that would be there on a Friday night, plus like 100 people that showed up to want to see it.
Nice.
And there was this one drunken guy who was like heckling. Like, he wanted to get up and take the microphone from me and give speeches. Mm-hmm. Okay, 200 people in the bar all going, "Sit down, Barry." Like, everybody knew Barry. He was the town drunk in a drunken town in a bar called Bukowski's. He was like the town drunk in the bar called Bukowski's, man. So, yeah. So, anyway, so I'm at this. Oh, you had a comment, Dan? Go ahead.
I was just going to say, around here, like, we don't have, like, because we live in quite a densely populated area, we have many town drunks, but you know who they all are.
You know,
when you see one, you know them.
Well, I think this was a bar full of town drunks, but this guy was the town drunkenest of all of them. So anyway, I'm like, in the health system for the first time in, you know, since I was a kid and was, like, on my parents' insurance or whatever. And, you know, first time in, like, 34 years or 32 years. So I'm like trying to get signed up for health insurance, and you know, they basically say, like, okay, you have to see if you qualify for, see, I'm in this weird middle class narrow slot where, like, I don't really make enough to afford health insurance, but I make too much to qualify for any Obamacare aid or whatever. But they said that, like, in this hospital, even to get private insurance, I have to apply for Obamacare and find out if I get turned down or not. So they made an appointment for us to go in. My wife and I share a car, which is, you know, sounds kind of like weird and sad, like, oh, you're 50 years old and you don't have your own car. But it's like, I need a car about four times a year, and I generally walk or ride a bike or take a taxi. And by not having two cars, we're able to live pretty well. If I had a car that I barely used, like, the extra expense would be like, we'd be struggling. So that's how we live. Yeah. Okay.
We don't even have a car, man. We have a train station and a bus stop right outside our house. So.
Yeah. Well, there's not very good, public transportation in this part of Wyoming.
You need to get more government in there, you know. Yeah. Then
indoor voice.
I just take a taxi. So like, they had me make an appointment to talk to, like, she's not called a social worker here at this thing, she's called, like, financial consultants, something like that, something from 1984,
something made up.
For the past 3 days, I've dealt with, like, some of the most competent and helpful and intelligent doctors I've ever met in my life. And then today we have to go in to have this appointment with this lady. And I had to get up really early. I slept like 4 hours. My wife had to come home from work to drive me. I go there and I go in and, you know, we explain the situation. She's like, well, okay, you have to sit down here and sign up for Obamacare. And she called it Obamacare, which is kind of funny because the government does not want it being called Obamacare anymore because it's such a cluster fark that they don't want it associated with their dear leader. So,
plus, I mean, he won't be in office forever. They want to lay this out.
Hillary
for
care,
good.
But by the time it sort of works badly, it'll be, you know, Jeb Bush care.
God!
So I'll tell the rest of this story when we get back from the free market. I'll tell the story of the unfree market, and then you can tell me your stories of horror from the European.
I have many stories of horror.
Stephen King-esque.
Stephen King-esque healthcare. Worms. Worms and leeches.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and some of his weird friends. And yes, we're broadcasting this into space.
Hey, this is Nathan Explosion from Death Clock, and you're listening to Freedom Fiends on the radio. Worms.
Creamy Radio Audio. Want caviar sound on a cat food budget? Creamy Radio Audio by the Freedom Fiends has great free tips so you can sound like a pro without spending like one. The most powerful form of human communication is one person speaking to another. But if people have to suffer through your sound, they'll change the channel and miss your message. With articles on microphones, preamps, recorders, mastering, recording remotely over the internet, doing a podcast, even getting a show on actual radio, the Freedom Fiends show you what they use and where to get it. Whether you're a talk show host, voiceover artist, podcaster, evangelist, or just want to record your loved ones for the ages, at Creamy Radio Audio, the Freedom Fiends will help you make the most of your sound. Creamy Radio Audio will help you speak to the world with sound that will make people want to keep listening. Check out creamyradioaudio.com. That's creamyradioaudio.com.
It's the Freedom Fiends talking to the Greens. This is Michael Dean. So I was talking about my my stories of woe. I'm one of the drunken Irish poets of Wyoming. There's one of us. So they sit me down in this otherwise fabulous establishment, and we make this appointment. My wife takes off a couple hours from work. I get up really early. We go in, and this social worker type lady sits me down and says, okay, you have to sign up for Obamacare. She calls it that. She sits me down at her crappy little computer. First thing, like, I start using the mouse, and the mouse barely works. The bottom of it is, like, covered with gunk. I flip it over, and I'm like, you know you can clean these with a wet wipe. And she's like, oh, okay. And but before that happens, she goes looking for the Obamacare website. Okay, this is a lady who obviously part of her job is signing people up for this thing. And she doesn't even have it bookmarked. She goes to Yahoo and searches the term Affordable Care Act. And like the actual website is like the sixth or seventh result. And she's like hovering over them, deciding which one. Like, she must do this 10 times a day. Like, why don't you bookmark them?
Was it her first day?
I don't know. No, because they made the appointment 3 days ago, and they gave me her name. Maybe they were like, yeah, come here in 3 days and so-and-so will be hired. I don't know. But she almost clicked on something that was like Obamacare.com, which is like a scam site. So she sits me down at it, and she tells me to sign up for it. And I start signing up for it. And like, first of all, like after you do the first page of it, it says, okay, now go check your email and click confirm. And it's like, I'm not going to enter, you know, first of all, I don't know my email password, you know, and secondly, I wouldn't check it from a public computer. And I said something to her about that. And then she says, oh, well, you can sign up at home. And I'm like, really? Like, we got off work and got up early to come in here and be told that. And she's like, yeah.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah. So we kind of left in disgust. And I came home and before we left, I was like, well, we have an insurance lady that we like, that we get our, you know, homeowners insurance and car insurance from. Can we go through her? And she's like, oh yeah, of course. You know, I'm like, okay. So I call that lady up and make an appointment.
Why are we here?
Yeah. I call that lady up and make an appointment with her. And that lady like really knows what she's doing. And she says like, okay, come on this time, this date, bring last year's tax return. Here's how it works. And oh, by the way, the thing that she's trying to have you do, you can't do on the website. You have to do on the phone.
This is ridiculous. Yeah. But these people are paper pushers. Essentially, this is what they do.
Obamacare has been this theory of tyranny in my head. Like, oh, that's that horrible thing. And whenever I can afford to get insurance, I'll just get it and not deal with Obamacare because I found out, like, I know that I'm not eligible probably for, you know, any of the free money that the government's making me pay. But to use this facility that I like, that has good doctors and it's in town and they're all in one place. Like, you know, I went to an asthma doctor, I went to a general practitioner, I went to like three different doctors in 3 days, and they all like work with each other and have each other's information, my information available to them. And they don't compete against each other. They're all kind of like one unit and it works really well. And I like it. But to use that facility, I have to sign up for Obamacare, even if I get turned down. So I'm having to do that. And, you know, I could take the anarchist stance and say, I won't do that. And I could sit and become sick. You know, I could die of an asthma attack at some point. So I am being forced by the government to attempt to sign up for Obamacare. Ugh.
Well, I mean, ridiculous. It is sort of
To pay for my own insurance. That's the clincher here. It's not single payer like you guys have in the UK, where you know they just your taxes are 98%, but you can get some free health care. Like literally, Obamacare is not that. It means you have to buy health care or you get fined.
See, the funny thing is
here, let me make it, I'm sorry to interrupt you again. You have to buy health insurance. That's different than health care. Okay, people confuse them in the same way that, you know, if I say I'm against Obamacare, people think I don't like health care. No, that's not true.
Yeah.
It's the same way I don't like public schools doesn't mean I'm against education or intelligence or learning. Okay, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say that the whole thing about the health care.
A boat.
Oh, there's music.
There is. And, you know, over Skype, you wouldn't be able to hear that yet. It's too quiet.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
oh,
dear. That's another way Fiend Phone rocks. We'll be back after this trip to the free market on the Freedom Fiends with the Deans and the Greens. The Deans, both of me, both sides of my brain.
You and the hamster in your brain are listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends.
This show survives on donations from fiends like you. We put that money back into our show and Liberty Outreach and donate most our ad space to Liberty organizations that make a difference. We're also a teaching hospital, educating the next generation of Liberty talkers on the skills needed to keep the radio flame of truth burning into the future. Put your money where your heart is and make a donation of any amount to the Freedom Fiends. Please go to freedomfiends.com and click on the spinning coin on any post.
So, we are the Freedom Fiends, Michael Dean, Dan Green, Katie Green, and we're talking over Fiend Phone, which is a piece of software that I helped develop with Derek Slopey. You can go to fiendphone.com and get it yourself for free and try it out. And if you want to make a donation, and we are in the last week of our Indiegogo. Operators are standing by. Make a donation now. So make a pledge to help Fiend Phone. So I do want to say that one of our listeners, I think it was, I don't remember who, suggested that I check out the movie N is a Number, A Portrait of Paul Erdos, which I've got, I'm going to watch and review on the show, and it's on Netflix. It's about a...
what's that about?
It's about a homeless speed freak Hungarian mathematician who couch surfed around the world and helped other mathematicians solve some of the great problems of mathematics.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah.
I mean, we were talking last night.
Isn't that what every movie's about nowadays?
Well, Dan and I were talking last night about insane and talented musicians, and we forgot to mention Wesley Willis. Do you know about him?
I am not familiar. No. Who is that, Mike?
Well, he might have been, when I said that I remember Jello Biafra seeing him around San Francisco with a Daniel Johnson shirt on, I think it was a Wesley Willis shirt, because Wesley Willis was on Biafra's label, Alternative Tentacles, but Biafra also tried to sign Daniel Johnson and was a fan of his, but I don't think it ever happened. But so it could have been either, but I do remember one of those guys on a shirt that Biafra wore more than once when he'd come see my band and be up in the front row cheering us on, drinking a Heineken. But so we talked about crazy musicians, but you know, crazy drug-addled mathematicians, that's a whole nother level. That's what I'm getting into now.
I think I was taught by one in first year of secondary school.
I had a teacher in college who was my history of pop culture teacher, which was kind of interesting.
Oh, wow,
this guy used to get drunk in the class. He had whiskey in his coffee cup, and he'd drink coffee in the class, and he would, you know, I guess they call that Irish whiskey, of course. And he would
Irish coffee.
Thank you. Yeah,
it's not real alcohol. It's coffee.
It was a 9 a.m. class, and he would look asleep at the beginning of the class. And by the end of the class, he would be up on the desk gesticulating wildly while talking. It's pretty funny.
Oh, wow.
So Katie was talking about her her one-woman show. Tell us about that, Katie.
Oh, yeah. I've been working on a one-woman show for the last 2 years in my head.
Yeah.
Every time something funny happens, I just go, I'm going to totally do this
kind of
my
long-running
show.
PK, I've got that she's just going to put it all in this one-woman show.
One-woman show.
And we kind of think it's like, you know, that episode of Friends when Chandler ends up at the one-woman show, you know, and she's like, why do you hate me? And
yeah,
stuff
that's
like
exactly.
That. I kind of imagine it'll be a little bit like that, but
yeah,
a bit crazier.
Well, that's what's going to happen. Eventually, that's the logical conclusion to this.
Yeah.
To this, and I'm pointing to myself to this. That's the logical conclusion.
Well, you know, they say that one of the indicators of someone being insane is that they imagine that their whole life is a movie.
Oh, wow. I've been insane since I was about 5, according to their...
You guys can joke about being insane. We can't do that here because they'll take our guns away, but you guys already had them taken away, so you can joke
about
it.
We don't have guns, so we...
Yeah,
we've
been disarmed, so we can just be crazy with knives and axes and swords and things, you know, so that's not bad.
We had a really weird day once. We decided to go out. Remember that day we went and bought knives and we put them in the display cabinet and then everybody thought we were crazy for a few months, and then we were like, why did we buy knives? And then we actually got rid of them.
Scottish people would be horrified to live in the state where I live, because in Wyoming, it's one of the handful of U.S. states where there's no regulation on carrying a knife of any size openly on your belt.
Sure.
And probably 30% to 50% of adult males in this state have a knife on a sheath on their belt. And it's not like... It's not even like for self-defense. It's because a lot of people work with their hands here and they have to cut wires and things like that, or boxes.
Sure.
I've told this story before. I remember when we first moved here almost six years ago, one of the first indicators that we're not in California anymore was we were at Walmart in the middle of the night, hardly anyone in there. And there was this girl stocking shelves who looked too young to be working. She looked about 16, but she was probably about 18. And she was unloading a pallet, like one of those giant pallets on a push cart kind of thing that was of cereal. There was boxes of cereal and it was wrapped with plastic, like when they ship it on the trucks, and there's plastic over it.
Yeah.
And she was trying to cut the plastic open with the company issued box cutter. And I guess the blade was dull. And she reaches on her hip and pulls out like a 7-inch Bowie knife from a sheath and just goes and opens it up and puts it back on her hip. And I'm like, man, this is not California.
That's awesome.
Like, you'd be in prison in California for walking around with that on your hip. And this was a girl. I mean, it looked like a child and it was pretty cool.
Yeah.
Well, see, it shows you how things are kind of different. Like, for example, I used to work in a supermarket, and this supermarket was across the road from a police station.
Yes.
And somebody robbed the supermarket, and see, when the security guard started chasing him, it's just too funny, he hit him with a toffee hammer.
With a what?
A toffee hammer. You know, you get those wee hammers for like toffee.
Like, toffee hammer for breaking hard candy, you mean?
Yeah,
that supermarket, I was there like yesterday. That's across the road, literally from like a massive police station.
A massive police state.
Dumb.
Hey, you know what?
You know what?
I got two announcements to make that are really fun. One is, it is a full moon right now. It's starting tonight and going into tomorrow. And in Native American history, each moon has a name. Each moon of the year has a name. Mm-hmm. And the moon tonight is the worm moon. Worms.
Yeah.
I'm assuming that's because in warmer climates, it's probably around the time you'd start seeing worms again. But the worms here are under about a foot and a half of snow. So,
I actually grew up, one of my biggest memories as a child is digging up worms.
Cool.
In Vancouver.
I think that's every kid's first.
Well, catching tadpoles. I have such a romantic view of my childhood catching tadpoles.
Because you don't live there anymore.
Because I don't live there anymore and I probably don't see the reality of it.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
Also,
it's not very, very romantic.
Two other announcements. One is we did not add a new station this week, but we added new cities because WSRQ in Sarasota, Florida, which we are on right now. It's one of the 8 or 9 stations we're on at night. We're on a lot more on the weekends, but they added power to their transmitter. I guess they got permission from the FCC to increase their transmitter. And they now reach to St. Petersburg, Florida. Did I say California? No, Florida. Sarasota, Florida. Oh. Now reaches to St. Petersburg, Florida, and Bradenton and Venice, Florida. And I love the name of this town, Manatee, Florida. That's pretty cool. So do you want to welcome the new listeners?
That reminds me.
Yeah. What's it remind you of?
No, I just like manatees.
Yeah, me too.
And whenever I imagine, whenever I hear the word humanity, I imagine a manatee named Hugh. And I've told Dan that we should do a cartoon.
Hugh the manatee?
That's awesome.
What,
that's
Hugh
awesome.
Manatee, and it was like a manatee named Hugh. I thought it was funny. And you were like, no, we shouldn't do a cartoon. See, we should have done a cartoon.
And the last announcement I have is that we now have a new Freedom Fiends t-shirt design. They're printed on Cafe Press, which are not the greatest, but you know, they're fun. I still have some from like with Nima and I on them from 4 years ago that I've washed 20 times and they haven't fallen apart. You can still read them. But it's the Macho Libertarian Flasher shirt. Which was, I think I'll use that maybe for, I'll put it on the show notes tonight. And it's designed by famous London fashion designer Anthony Lopez Vito. And it's pretty cool shirt, man. I'm even going to get one for me. And I don't usually wear my own shirts, but it's that cool. And it's based on a, you know, this phrase, libertarian macho flash, is something they said in the 70s that were like, it was actually an article by somebody from the Libertarian Party. Telling people not to engage in libertarian macho flash, which is, you know, the opposite of being staid and conservative of a libertarian, like the Libertarian Party generally were. Like, we need to work within the system and not scare people. Whereas, like, the libertarian macho flash person is like, says things like, they take it to the extreme. Like they say, I think heroin should be freely available in vending machines as long as they're privately owned and operated. Or I think heroin, cocaine, and amphetamines should be available in bulk form at Walmart, but probably not in the same aisle as the sugar to avoid confusion. And I've always been into libertarian macho flash, but I misheard it and misremembered it. And I called it macho libertarian flash, which I think actually sounds better. And early on the Freedom Fiends, like 600 episodes ago, I turned Nima Vedati onto that term. And I think it was he who said, you know, he called us macho libertarian flashers, or maybe Lou said it or something. And I remembered that phrase again recently and said it to Davi Barker. And a fan, this guy, Anthony, heard it and said, and made a shirt design. And I had him tweak a few things on it. It's pretty awesome. Yeah. It's like a silhouette of a guy with an overcoat flashing. There's nothing sexual, you know, specifically about it, but it is a flasher. And he's got like every illegal thing in his, you know, in his coat. Like he's got pot, guns, weed, pills, Bitcoin, gold, money, a heart for love, and a microphone. I added the microphone. So yeah, those shirts are cool, man. Go get them.
I would recommend anybody who has an opinion about libertarianism to grab a microphone and start a show.
See if we're just talking about flashers for a minute.
Just while we're on the subject Dan wants to say something.
I got to say where people can get this shirt. Go to freedomfiends.com/blog, and it's the top post. It links the Cafe Press site. So go ahead.
I was just saying, if we're talking about flashers, there was an old Monty Python sketch when you see a guy from the back and he's got a big trench coat and he's kind of walking up to women. Do you remember this? Like that, and then like it turns around, but he's fully clothed and he's got a sign that says "boo" around his neck.
It says what? Boo.
Boo around his neck.
If you haven't seen it, I would YouTube that Monty Python flasher. Yeah.
Well, Americans are really prudish. I mean, like I've actually had several comments. We posted this design before we made the t-shirt, and we've had several comments from like libertarians in America who are like, oh, that goes too far. Oh, I'd never wear that. That looks like a pervert. It would hurt children. And I've had like 5 or 6 people in the UK go like, that's funny as heck. Where can I buy one?
I like it.
Yep. We'll be back after this trip to the free market. We'll return for the redemption in the third act of the Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and the Greens. Worms.
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 You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends, tasing you with liberty since 2011. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
Are you sick of government lackeys who say, you didn't build that? Are you tired of elitists like Barack Obama and Al Gore taking credit for the web while trying to take over the web? Are you disgusted by experts whose concept of the internet is that it's a series of tubes? Take back the free market of computing by encouraging software developers to adopt the BIPCOT NoGov license. The BIPCOT NoGov license allows any use or modification except by governments. Go to BIPCOT.org. That's Bravo, India, Papa, Charlie, Oscar, Tango.org. So this is Michael Dean talking to Dan Green and Katie Green. And Katie Green wants to talk about the one-woman show that she has opening in Scotland this week.
Opening never, ever happening, ever.
But we were talking about the NHS.
Strong, independent.
I mean, yes, confident.
Okay. I go away from the mic because I get too relaxed. So, I was talking about my one-woman show, which is not happening. But on a more serious note, we were talking about the vape pens or shisha pens or e-cigs or whatever you want to call them.
I've never heard of most of those terms, and I've got one in my hand right now.
They're called a lot of things here, though.
But like, they're basically basically they're trying to ban them, and you know, certain places in the UK, damn NHS. But like, Katie actually found a place, didn't you? That like that you really liked.
Oh yeah,
yeah. That does all these kind of.
Oh, he's really cool, but the guy's a good. He's a good capitalist. Like he saw a total gap in the market. He's been open for a bit longer than these other new places that keep popping up about the whole e-cig thing. All these shops keep appearing, but this guy's really, really good. He's there all day. He owns the place. He makes his own oils and stuff. He's really nice, and he lets you test things. And he's like, how much do you want? How much nicotine do you want? And I actually use zero nicotine. I've actually been off the nicotine.
Because Katie was a heavy smoker for years.
But, you know, it's an alternative that I decided I wanted to use. It's my body. I want to put in it what I wish to. I trust this guy. I know his oils. I know that they're not harmful. I trust him to sell me good products, which he always does. So basically, like, he's a good capitalist, and
you can bring him stuff, can't you?
And bring him stuff, and he's like, I'll make you an oil. Tell me what you want, you know. And the whole thing about the vape pens or the e-cigs is that the government are now, the NHS, the National Health Service that we have in the UK, are coming in now and saying these e-cigs are harmful. They're not. They're untested. They're unregulated. Don't trust them. Trust us.
Keep trusting us.
Keep smoking your cigarettes and keep using our nicotine replacement therapy products, please.
They don't really say keep smoking. They say stop smoking because we own your body and use the pharmaceutical nicotine replacements, right?
Well, actually,
yeah, no. They have a deal with one of the big companies.
They have
companies,
a deal with the drug company.
You know, for patches and gum and stuff like that. Exactly. So that's why they say that, because
Klein.
Yeah. You know, I don't usually give out government websites, but I discovered one today that's kind of interesting. And this is a function of Obamacare, but you in America listening are paying for this website. You might as well use it. I learned about this from a John Oliver piece about the medical industry, which was kind of horrifying. The website is openpaymentsdata.cms.gov. And what this site allows you to do is search your doctor's name and find out how much in kickbacks and money he has gotten, basically in bribes from pharmaceutical companies.
Well, I can tell you, I know how it works here. The drug reps, these sales reps for drug companies come in, and they're very, very smooth talkers to all of the NHS people.
Have you seen this John Oliver piece about this?
It's free.
You'll love it, since you work in that industry. I'll send it to you. It's amazing. I'll put it in the show notes, too.
If you could, please, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
So tell me more about your one-woman show.
Well, no, I just... Oh, yes, my one-woman show, my struggle with my inner child. I don't know. I'm making this up as I go. I'm not going to do it. It's just a running joke in this house. Whenever something like dramatic happens and I overreact, I go, so I'm just practicing. I'm going to put this in my one-woman show, and I make up a new name for it every single time.
What if something
happens? I'm looking forward.
Dan's, Dan's looking forward to it. My one woman show, my struggle with anorexia, which is really ironic because I'm really fat. So it's more of an irony thing. Not that I'm making fun of anorexia. I would never dream of that. I'm just saying it's kind of ironic. Another one is my battle with my inner child, my battle with my mother. I could go on. I'm not
why is it always a battle with you, man?
It's a battle.
Yeah. Doesn't always have to be a battle.
Oh, yeah, I know why.
That's what I've learned.
Because conflict
love
is
a battlefield, Dan.
Essence of
Pat
drama.
Benatar said that.
Conflict is the essence of drama.
I like that. I take back the Pat Benatar. I that one.
Friends become enemies.
And a woman show needs drama.
Friends become enemies. Enemies become friends.
Everyone's enemies a little, become friends.
Everyone's a little richer for the experience. It's the hero's
you know
journey.
Is that working a one woman show?
Everyone's a little bit richer for hearing us speak today, I think.
I think they are.
That is the size of my ego right now.
Yeah.
Thank you for having us.
Should have never given you people microphones.
I'm
glad that they,
you
glad
shouldn't let us do anything.
Worms. You guys will be back soon.
Worms.
And I like it. Worms.
Oh, yeah,
we will be. Yeah.
Awesome.